Coming up on podcast 1467, VW extend the life of the E-Up while they bring the ID1 and ID2 to market. Stick around and I'll tell you what I know. Also on the podcast today, we're talking a little bit about Honda entering the Chinese market, Indian electric buses, and how Mazda are making the MX-30 just a teeny-weeny bit better. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Sunday, 15th of May. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Welcome to EV News Daily on location. I wrote the show earlier today and then had to jump in the car to head off for some meetings I've got on Monday. So a little pit stop right now. I ran the mighty MG ZS EV down to 10% state of charge, which is where I'm comfortable at, by the way. I know that my some of my friends, like Kyle from Out of Spec, going down to 0% in an EV is a walk in the park for him, but my ticker gets absolutely no pleasure from the stress induced by that. And so, stopped at about 10% at a grid serve unit and plugged in. If you're interested, I'll quickly tell you. Battery was at 28 degrees, according to my OBD dongle and the app. Battery at 28 degrees. The car was pulling 155 amp, 400 volt pack, which was a pretty high voltage pack in the MG, so it was down to 400 volts at 10% state of charge. 10% indicated on the dash was 16% on the app, which gives you a sense of the kind of bottom buffer on this car, and it pulled about 65 kilowatts. This is not the, the original MG, which I'm driving, is not the world's fastest charging car, and I wouldn't, if I had a lot of motorway miles to do, I wouldn't do it, but for odd long journeys and stuff, absolutely serviceable every day of the week, I would say. So I had to stop anyway for 20-25 minutes, and that should be how long the podcast is if I stop waffling and telling you about what I'm up to. We'll start with news about Honda. First in the news, launching the electric only EN line, or rather E:N, capital N, line of vehicles in China. Nikkei Asia reporting, Honda's new EVs start at the equivalent of $26,000. That, of course, makes them much cheaper than some of the other EVs in China, particularly Tesla, making them, hopefully, for Honda, in a midpoint in the market where they can get some scale on those cars. They'll be Honda's first EVs to bear their signature H logo, all electric, in the Chinese market. Honda plans to introduce 10 models in the next 5 years in its EN series, using the new developed EV-specific platform for China. The first of these is the ENS1 SUV, launched in a local JV, joint venture, as so many car companies do in China. That's with Dongfeng Honda and also GAC Honda Automobile. They take pre-orders this month, and the ENS1, I'm getting confused now, it puts it in the European kind of B segment, if that makes sense, subcompact cars. According to HindustanTimes.com, the battery, they say 510 kilometers of range, but it's China, so we need to know all the details of that, and we'll make our own mind up on battery size times efficiency. We can work out our own numbers, but it won't be 510 kilometers, I'm guessing. Made by CATL, so they got a decent battery supplier then. So Honda doing all the right things, going with the great supplier. Not sure. I'm imagining that's an LFP pack. If it's a $26,000 equivalent car, I doubt that's an NMC chemistry. Hey, but it could be. But more likely to be LFP. I don't know. I've got no confirmation of that. Honda will produce the EN models at existing factories of those joint ventures in China. They will build a new facility that will start operations in 2024. And then export those EN models to other markets, they say. That does include Europe in 2023. So that's a story that has kind of come out of nowhere for me. And I didn't realize that Honda were going to bring their Chinese-made EN series to the UK, or to Europe at least. Probably not the UK, because we're right-hand drive. And if we do, it'll be later. But that's really interesting. I'll do some more digging on that, because that's new news to me, and great news. Next, we'll go to India. Don't talk a lot about Indian buses, do we? But the Delhi government yesterday approving the introduction of 1,500 new electric buses in the public transportation fleet. The Delhi Transportation Commission allocating 10 sites as well along those routes routes to set up EV charging and even battery swapping, and identifying service providers who will bid to put those stations in. So everywhere is going EV. We talk about the big markets, big countries all the time, but hey, it's happening everywhere. Now, the Mazda MX-30 is getting a little bit better. Well, a little bit better. Anyway, this press release I got from Mazda at insidemazda.co.uk, if you're interested. The launch back in March 2021 has seen the Mazda MX-30 sold 2,180 times in the UK, which is 2,180 times more than I thought it would have been. Actually, that's a little unfair. I think the Mazda MX-30 looks pretty cool. I think if you are buying it on style over substance, I like how they've made it, styled it. I like the BMW i3 doors, suicide doors, as some call them, unfortunate name. And it's just everything under the skin, which is really horrible. 100 miles EPA range, a modern EV with 100 miles EPA range. Yowzers. 35.5 kilowatt hour battery. And the battery is so small, they had to come up with a reason to justify it to the journalists a year ago when it was being promoted. So they were saying, well, actually, what we've done is made an EV that is good for the planet because, you know, we're trying to be green. And so actually the smaller battery you put in an EV, the better it is, you see, less resources. And that was Mazda's wonderful logic of putting in a woefully small battery. Oh no, it's all about being green. Well, why didn't you not put a smaller one in? Do you know what I mean? Why not sell a bicycle? So either way, they have updated it for the 2022 model year, good old Mazda. They have added some charging performance. They have increased the maximum power from 40 to 50 kilowatts. Wowee. Okay, I say that. I've owned two Renault Zoes that charge at 22 kilowatts, so I'm no one to throw stones. But still, it's a good improvement. And if you do the occasional long journey, I mean, it won't be very far, will it, in a Mazda MX-30, but you will charge a little bit quicker. Hey, it's all about the charge curve anyway, which we'll talk about in a minute when we talk about VW, but really, that might be the peak speed. Hopefully, if you've bought one, and you don't mind me poking and ribbing a little bit, hopefully you love the car. I've seen a couple on charge at local Tesco's when I've just been in and popped it on the pod points and gone to get me groceries. I've seen a couple, and they do look great. They're just, I guess, around town, a great little car, but, I mean, very expensive as well for what you get. But either way, if you have bought one, I hope you don't mind me joking, and that you are loving your Mazda MX-30. There is a footnote. I do like to read the footnotes, as we found out recently with Toyota. Lexus, was it? Or was it the Subaru? Whichever one wouldn't charge when it was cold, either way. And this says Mazda MX-30... has the rapid charging time reduced by 10 minutes to 26 minutes. Now, there's no state of charges on that disclaimer, that footnote, which has obviously gone through legal departments and PR departments. So you can only presume that they mean 0 to 100%, and it absolutely does not do that in 26 minutes. So come on, Mazda, stick your percentages on, because that is a false state. Unless you really do mean that you can charge the entire pack in 26 minutes. Really? All the way to the end and balancing at the end? Really? I don't think that's true. Either way, 26 minutes, they say, to charge that car. Normally, you'd say that would be 80% or 90%. 10 to 80, etc. Either way, Mazda don't say that, and I'm not surprised, because they don't seem very serious about building a very good EV or even writing the proper things about them. Okay, let's move on. We will talk a little bit about trucks going electric, which is just brilliant because we love stories like this. Volvo Trucks and Deutsche Post have signed a cooperation agreement to accelerate their shift to zero emissions transport by deploying 44 new electric Volvo trucks on routes in Europe. The intended order includes 40 electric trucks of the Volvo FE and Volvo FL for urban transportation, and electric trucks for the longer routes, also part of the scope in the future as well, with their FM trucks, all made by Volvo, of course. The first trucks have been ordered already, 6 by DHL Parcel in the UK, 2 by DHL Freight, and just with those 8 vehicles alone in the UK, they're going to save 600 tonnes of CO2, which is admirable and brilliant and wonderful, and that is all good. But also 225,000 litres of diesel. And that's just the bottom line of why you should buy an electric truck, because that's an annual saving. What's diesel right now? £1.60, should we say? 225,000 litres of fuel every single year at £1.60 is 300,000, 400,000 odd pounds every single year. That just makes sense to buy EVs everywhere, including EV trucks. Right, coming up on the podcast very soon, if you leave us turned on, we'll be talking about how VW keep the E up on the market while the ID1 and the ID2 are readied, and a software update for those VW cars, which has hopefully done some good things for the charge curve. Significantly better, actually, I would say. And if you want the ad-free version of this podcast and you don't like the ads, that's okay. It can save you a minute or two every single day, and if you listen to this podcast daily, it all adds up. You can support the show on Patreon, one of the many benefits that you get, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. We will always be free with the occasional advert, and if you think that I've earned your support, or you want to support the podcast, it's how we do it, individuals and companies. I couldn't do it without you, as you know, long-term listeners. You can go to patreon.com/EVNewsDaily, $5, $10 and up as well. And you get your ad-free feed. Back in a sec. Okay, let's talk a little bit about how Volkswagen is planning small cars below the ID Life. Now, the ID Life, I always thought, was the ID3 shrunken down a little bit. Looked a bit like the Honda E, and VW are certainly looking at those mass market but compact cars, entry-level electric models. The E-Up is going to remain in the range longer than they wanted to, and the successor to what was the ID Life, we think they now won't bring the ID Life to market, but a new name, and have actually an even smaller brother than that. So this report coming in, I found it on Reddit, and it's on Automobilvok, the German website, but also, it's been through Google, so I hope it makes sense. At the annual general meeting in Berlin, the CEO of Porsche, Oliver Blum, responsible for production of the group's group executive board, didn't mince his words and spoke openly about the ID 2. At the same time, he countered rumours that the small car could be built outside Europe. He said that is not correct. The vehicle is intended for production in Europe in the current planning round. Previous indications are that it will be built in Spain by SEAT, along with its Cupra sister model, the Urban Rebel. Now, the fans or something cooling in the mighty, mighty MGs at SEV have just kicked on. So if you can hear that in the background, I've never heard them kick on. My God, they're loud. Because I don't tend to do too many long journeys in this. It's my wife's car. And the battery is at, I can see, 35 degrees at the minute. Coolant's running around at 24.5. We're still charging at 30 kilowatts. 32 kilowatts at 75% state of charge. And yeah, this is not the most refined of cars. It's the original MG and ZS. And yeah, that's a chunky pump sound. That's beefy. I've never had that come on before. Also, we bought this in October, November last year. It's been cold in the UK. Just starting to warm up. And yeah, it's going to take off. Okay, let me continue. We're talking about VW. To tide it over until the launch of the ID2, VW is going to leave the entry-level E up in the lineup a little bit longer. It'll be built for another 2.5 years, announced Hildegard Wortmann, member of the Board of Management of Sales. I thought the E up was done and dusted, and it's going to get another 2.5 years on the market. Look, it's really popular in Germany. The E up is really popular. Then the ID2 could take over. The E up was launched back in November 2013. It could then be followed by an even smaller ID1. And Oliver Blum saying that it's under intensive consideration. This vehicle is currently still a product idea, he said in response to a shareholder's question about the ID1. But look, it's going to make serious sense, because VW wants to be the world's biggest EV maker by numbers. by 2025, and they know they're a fair way behind Tesla. VW, as I mentioned recently, will do 800,000 cars this year. Tesla, maybe 1.3, 1.5 million cars this year. So you could do that by making a lot of very, very small cars. You would get technically that, you know, you'd be number one if you made, you know, 2 million cars. Because the problem is the batteries, as you and I know, we talk about it all the time. And so if you haven't got a really beefy contract for LFP cells, and you're going to try and do something with NMC, looking at the shortage of nickel, looking at the shortage of lithium, which is on the horizon for 2 to 3 years away. Elon Musk talked about it this week. Others have talked about it extensively, that there's on the horizon. It's not as if we're not going to have any, but we're not going to have enough for the cumulative production forecasts of the major OEMs. We won't get to that number of whatever is like 10.5 million pure EVs with the mining in place at the minute, and refining, more importantly, which is all in China. And so that would make sense. Just sell a bunch of cars for VW, hopefully with a decent margin, with the aim of being city cars, not pitching them as being motorway cars, like we talked about the Mazda. Just say, hey, look, it's about use case, and not pretend it's anything else. A bunch of cars with 40, 45 kilowatt hour battery, like the base spec ID3, and twice as many cars and half the battery size of the bigger ones. So it's about what you do with what you got, and we'll wait and see what VW do. Now, let's talk charging curves, because I also found on Reddit, the brilliant YouTube channel Battery Electric, he was driving the ID5 GTX at the press day, and it had software version 3.0, I think, installed, and did a charge curve analysis. And basically, the VW, this was the ID5 he was driving, I think, but with the latest software. And this is analogous to the ID4 and the ID3 big battery. With new version software 3.0, it took a bigger peak rate and stayed at 100 kilowatts all the way up to 75%. So it peaks higher. It stays, basically just sits on 100 kilowatts all the way through to 75-80%. The peak rate was 135, I think I saw, and that is the headline, which we knew already. But changing that charge curve is going to save you a decent 10 or 12 minutes, I think, maybe 8 to 10 minutes. But that's decent. That's a really good improvement. What that means is VW are listening to their owners and the feedback, and they're improving the cars, and they're making them better all the time. And that is absolutely what we want to see all car companies doing. And so well done to them, and props to them for doing that. But I'm hesitating, because has anyone got software 3.0? No. Have you got software 2.3? Maybe not. And so ID cars on the road at the minute have to go back to the dealer, I think, to get a new module or a new unit and the new software. Then it's enabled for over-the-air updates. Then you can get software 3. And then you can get 3.1, which has all the fancy stuff with bidirectionality and what have you. So, yes, good on them for doing it. But I imagine ID drivers listening to this are saying, well, yeah, that's all well and nice, but I haven't actually got even the first update yet. All right, let's talk about how in the UK the government are announcing a boost to zero emissions heavy goods vehicles, adding £200 million into the funding pot, and initial competitions for battery electric and even hydrogen fuel cell technology is being launched by the UK. Graham Cooper, who I've interviewed on this podcast before, he's the head of future markets at National Grid, saying, we welcome the next phase of the government's zero-emission road freight demonstrator programme. But I can't help, this isn't me speaking, not Graham, I can't help but £200 million is a drop in the ocean by the time you divvy it between various companies, and you want to split it between battery electric and hydrogen, stupid fuel cell, stupid, that money will go absolutely nowhere meaningful. But it's still £200 million into exploring a 3-year program, in terms of electrifying road freight. Come on, get it done, speed up. Now we'll go to Madrid. I wish I could go to Madrid, by the way. Be nice and warm. EMT, the public bus operator in the city of Madrid, has commissioned 60 electric buses of Solaris. Turning 25% of the fleet electric by the middle of the decade, and no more diesel engine bus operating in the centre of Madrid from 2023. It's all part of their transport goal to turn Madrid's public transport system electric. These buses have 400 kilowatt hour packs in them, and I'll pop a link to Solaris bus in the show notes. And talking of commercial vehicles, Volvo in North America receiving an order from NFI for 60 electric trucks to be deployed in Ontario, California, and starting to run this year. That's brilliant, brilliant news. Now, in China, WM Motor, one of the Chinese companies we don't talk about as much, delivering almost 3,500 vehicles in April. That is up almost 50% from a year earlier. WM Motor grew despite the ongoing challenges, the adverse factors around COVID, chip shortages, raw material increases and supply chain disruptions and lockdowns as well. According to CNEVpost.com, WM Motor have cars like the EX5 and the W6. On sale. A lot of ride-hailing vehicles they make as well, which is really interesting. And talking of China's lockdowns, which I've just mentioned, they are just causing supply chain chaos everywhere, from Apple to tech companies to Tesla as well. Across the globe, Beijing's zero-tolerance approach to COVID, idling factories and forcing people to, you know, stay at home, idling warehouses as well. Truck deliveries have slowed down. There's container log jams that affects general exports. I think automobile exports have, to an extent, been a little bit insulated by that. Tesla's plant in Shanghai, plagued by disruptions, closing down for 3 weeks last month, starting up again under the closed-loop system where workers live on-site, get regular testing. But many in Shanghai remaining in lockdown, and things really, really difficult, by the way. So things not getting better quickly. Some of those infection rates are still trending upwards. Very bad news. McLaren Racing, next in the news, entering the Formula E World Championship next year at the start of the Gen 3 era. It's an iconic team, McLaren Racing, and they have chosen to purchase the existing Mercedes EQ Formula E team. And through that acquisition, getting the staff, the facilities, pretty much, I'm sure it's not this, but changing the team t-shirts, and off you go racing next year with Gen 3. And if you're looking to watch something maybe before the weekend is over, check out a brilliant Nissan Ariya first drive and first impressions from Derek Riley of EV Review Ireland. And you know that YouTube channel sponsors this podcast anyway, but I wouldn't recommend it unless it was good. And he's done a really cool split screen thing with one camera facing forward, one camera facing back. He's on the racetrack with the Ariya. Pop a link to that in the show notes so you can read more. Okay, we'll do question of the week next, because I'm at 83% and there's nobody else charging next to me, so I'll carry on recording podcasts in the car. Thank you very much to everyone who sponsors this podcast via Patreon, but particularly our premium partners: Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley of the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, emobilitynorway.com, Octopus Electric Juice, making public charging simple with one card, one map and one app, and millbrookcottages.co.uk. They are five-star luxury cottages down in Devon with everything you need for a perfect getaway, including EV chargers. Have a good one, see you tomorrow, and remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.